I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. But I'm going to talk about religion for a second. We were just talking about it off air. I was telling Anna and Annie, who's stage managing today, that in the middle of writing an article like a dozen years ago, I realized that people who believe in reason and logic as opposed to mythology are a tiny minority in the world. Everyone else believes in some form of religion. Now, to be fair, it's actually not a tiny minority because there's a lot of Chinese folks who don't believe in religion. Mm-hmm. So at least we've got some of China on our side, and that's a nice portion of the world, right? But of course, there's Taoism and Buddhism, et cetera, there. Some Christianity and Islam, obviously, as well. And Taoism is a little bit different. And I actually like Taoist philosophy, but not the religion. Mm-hmm. But it is disconcerting to know, like, to realize, oh, no, we're outnumbered. And there's a ton of wonderful folks who are religious, who believe in logic and reason and science and are scientists themselves, et cetera. And it's really the fundamentalists that are the problem. But still, I mean, and that led me to the other point, and that's why I brought it up in the first place, which is, come on, guys. For all of you who are religious, and I love you, if you're members, that means you're good folks, you're progressive, you have empathy, you care about the world. And again, some of our members who are religious, or we know for a fact, are the most decent people in the world that we know. What a lucky break that you happen to be born into the right religion. I mean, everybody goes about their lives like, hey, I'm the lucky one. Born into name the religion, right? Born into Islam, and obviously Islam's the right one. Only a tiny, 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 tiny percentage look into the other religions and try to make a decision on it, right? 99.999% are like, obviously it's the one I'm born into.
Right.
Really? Really, that's obvious? It's just, of course that doesn't make sense. But then another realization that I had, also disconcerting, is that once you've lost, like, once you say, I'm going to do it based on faith, well, to some degree, by definition, you're not doing it on logic. So I believe in, you know, name a prophet, okay? Abraham, and that's it. And the other guys are phonies, okay? Well, you're not going to use logic because you're using faith. I mean, I'm hoping that you could do both. And like I said, I know that, of course, a huge number of religious people are perfectly logical. But
it sounds so easy, right? Like to just, look, I'm going to be honest, to not have to think for yourself and just say that it's God's will, whatever.
That's sorry, I'm cutting you off like crazy.
No, it's okay.
I had that epiphany when we were covering Michelle Bachmann, of all people, because she had that line that was so clarifying. She said, you know, my life was a mess. I didn't know what I was doing, and I was stressed all the time. Then I found Jesus, and everything got better because I let him make the decisions. Now, the reality is she's not, if Jesus exists, unlikely that he's talking to Michelle Bachmann. But in her mind, it just allowed her to go make the same decisions because she's the one making them, obviously, right? But go, it's okay, I'm not responsible for my decisions because it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. So you just blame Jesus for
it. Yeah, in a sense. I mean, look, of course the
Jesus
the,
Christ.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah. They say the opposite. They say, well, let's take Malcolm X as an example. The famous ending to the book about him by Alex Haley is Malcolm X says, all the mistakes are mine. All the praise goes to Allah. Okay, which I thought was kind of a raw deal. the mistakes are mine. Can I get a little bit of credit for the things I did right? No, that's all Allah. So, and Christians say the same thing. Like I make the mistakes, but I give praise to the Lord for all the blessings He's given me, etc. But in reality, they're like, no, I get to turn off my brain, and if I screwed up at all, it's, you know, hey, I don't know, Jesus told me to do it. I mean, let's talk about Michelle Bachmann, right? She's like, Jesus told me to be an accountant, then he told me to be a politician. I go, okay, apparently changed his mind. Then he told me to run for president and said I was definitely gonna win, and then it turns out I got humiliated. He changed his mind again. Jesus told me to look away from the camera. while talking to that camera. Also another mistake. Man, Jesus keeps making mistakes with Michelle. Mm-hmm. But it's all okay because it doesn't matter. She handed her life over to Jesus, so she doesn't have to stress about anything anymore. And that's, you're right, Anna, that must be liberating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
false. It's not, doesn't make any sense. But at least it's a load off your mind. Hey, it wasn't me. Take it up with the big guy.
It's your perpetual like scapegoat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's not how you're supposed to use Jesus. But that's if you're a good person doing the right things.
Right.
Okay, so you had a story and I've.
I do. So before I talk about anything that's not related to news or whatever, and it's more personal, I just want to quickly address, obviously I look like I've been distressed. And I broke down a little during the show today. Look, I got to be honest, like the Kavanaugh outcome, and it's not specifically Kavanaugh getting confirmed. It's just all the commentary surrounding Kavanaugh and the accusers. That's been really difficult. And it's been difficult because of the insanely cruel stuff that's coming out of people's mouths about mm-hmm. people who have been victimized by sexual assault. It's just, it's hard. I don't know. I've done this job for such a long time, and we've covered all sorts of really difficult content. And I've seriously never been triggered, but that story triggers me. And so I just wanted to get that out.
Yeah, so Anna, look, first of all, there's nothing to apologize for.
It makes me feel, I'm gonna be honest, it makes me feel, and look, this is not, I don't mean to insult anyone, please don't take it this way, but it makes me personally feel unfit or weak in doing my job.
That's crazy talk.
No.
But we're real. So having real emotions, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. That makes you better at this job, not worse. And I mean, would I rather host a show with a robot like Wolf Blitzer? I mean, when's the last time Wolf Blitzer was affected by a story? People saying that a woman being sexually assaulted had it coming and they should have been assaulted even more. Whatever, next story. I'm not interested in that guy, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, and now I'm gonna do a little pop psychology in this case. You know, so we talked a couple times about how you were groped in a couple instances, but I don't think that's it. So I'm trying to figure out why, right? Mm-hmm. Why it got to you so much. And I think that it's your loss of faith in humanity.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. You know, look, I have a hard time grappling with how cruel people can be, you know? And look, I know that I've said things aggressively, but I don't think I've never wished ill upon other people. And if someone comes to me or, you know, is in the public spotlight, talking about some sort of trauma that they've experienced, I can't ever imagine like victimizing them further. And I just think like the commentary that I'm seeing from women in regard to other women who have been victimized, like it's just hard to stomach all of that. So yeah, and honestly, it's just the culmination of now what, 2-3 years of nonstop examples of how insanely cruel people can be in the name of politics. And so, yeah, that's part of it for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, when you have Joffrey as president, we're all traumatized. I mean, we're gonna have PTSD from this presidency,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not, you're right, it's just nonstop cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here he is again today or yesterday in the rally mocking the Me Too movement. There is no fucking boundaries, there's just nothing, right?
Yeah.
It's an endless, bottomless barrel where you just can't find the bottom of the barrel. And just when you think they've gone low, you know, they go way lower. They're like, no, watch this, right? And that's what we do for a living. We watch this.
Yeah.
And it definitely can get to you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get that out of the way and just address it really quickly. So with that said, let's talk about something else for a couple minutes, I guess.
Yeah, but no, hold, one last thing, guys. And I know that, you know, we say sometimes the post game is an old school, sometimes is therapy for us, right? And Ben's my therapist and I talk about that all the time. And you see us going through this with your own eyes. But I gotta say, I actually have gone now in the opposite direction, and I'll tell you why. Because of the conversations we had in the postgame.
Okay. Really?
So that conversation we had about how, wait a minute, don't make the same mistake that everybody else is of judging your life by the metric of money.
Right.
Right. So that epiphany that I told you about last week, and like my wife always tells me, exercise parts of your brain that you want to emphasize. Right. So I have been going back to that thought and exercising it a little bit throughout the last week, and I'm feeling way better and better and better about it, because I keep thinking about that the Reuters story where the 15-year-old kid watched the Young Turks and decided not to join ISIS. Man, you know, fuck what everybody else thinks. I could retire with a smile on my face. We made a goddamn difference, you know? And I'm sure we screwed up 1,000 things, a million things. But then this morning I was thinking, would Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have won if we never started doing this? The answer is probably, okay? But I'm not positive, right? And maybe she would have won anyway, and Ayanna Pressley certainly would have won. But maybe one or two other candidates wouldn't have won, right? And maybe the progressives wouldn't have had quite as much momentum. So, God, you know.
I mean, there's that, which I think is important. But what I also think is insanely important, and this is what my mind usually goes back to when I'm having a difficult time with the
Guys,
news.
Guys, let's go to her.
The thing that I think about a lot is when you hear from people who grew up in a super conservative household, but felt like they could never be honest about who they really are, whether they're, you know, gay or actually non-religious, atheist, whatever it is. And they'll watch the show and they'll finally feel confident enough to be true to who they are and let their family know, like, no, I don't agree with this. This is who I am. This is what I think. Like, those are the things, those are the stories that help me, like, tremendously, so much, you know?
Yeah, I've had dozens of people come up and tell me that. I remember particularly the Muslim woman who had the courage to leave her fundamentalist family and wanted to thank us for helping her to do that. I remember, a young gay student who said, you know, we freed him. And man, I mean, if we liberated anybody, Jesus, it was all worth it.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, and so try, like, in difficult times, what I'm saying is, exercise that part of your brain.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, we have time, right? Other stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to talk about how I understand that I am a petite woman, right?
I understand that I am not.
Okay. Look, the only reason why I say that, it's an important preface to what I'm about to share with you guys. So I am remodeling my closet.
Of course you are.
Hold on.
It doesn't matter. Fill in the blank.
I'm remodeling our closet on my own.
I assume some woodwork involved.
There is. There's a lot of woodwork involved.
Good.
So anyway, I had a bunch of very heavy things delivered to me, and it came on a crate, one of those, the crate things. It's like a wood crate, and so the shipping, like, the company that I ordered from was like, free shipping. And I'm like, all right, free shipping. But here's the thing, nothing is free in this country. Free shipping means we are gonna drop off this 1,000-pound crate thing with all the stuff that you ordered on your sidewalk. And it is up to you to get it upstairs to your unit, right? But let me tell you something, this is just yet another example of how strong women can be, despite their petiteness in some cases. I got it upstairs.
Really? How'd
you
do that?
I was so proud of myself. So how did I do it? So everything is on this giant crate and it's all wrapped up, but it's a bunch of different pieces, right? And so I realized, okay, there's randomly a shopping cart on the corner of this street. I'm gonna go grab that shopping cart. It's a nice big Costco shopping cart. And I'm going to dismantle this crate thing and one by one lift this put it into the shopping cart and get it upstairs. And luckily there's an elevator in the building, so that helped a lot. But let me tell you something, when that guy showed up to deliver it, I was like, no, no, please, 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 please just help me. Please help me. I'll pay you. I'll pay you to help me get this stuff upstairs. Mm-hmm. No. There was no amount of money that would have convinced him to help me. And I was like, that's fine. But here's the thing, when there is a walk-in closet remodeling situation at stake, a woman can and will get the job done.
So I'm gonna tell you two quick stories that relate to that, that are, one is the exact opposite, and one is one of the most absurd things I'm ever gonna tell you. Okay, so on the other hand, my wife is doing replacing our water filter by our sink. Why do I say on the other hand? I want no part of it, okay? And I think it's a terrible mistake. I'm like, for Christ's sake, hire a handyman. That's his job, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. Handy is in the title, okay? If his job had a job description, he'd be handyman, okay? And so he'll get it done in an hour and we'll be done with it. Mm-hmm. She's been wrestling with that thing for like 3 days.
But let me tell you something, once she gets it done, it will be a fulfilling moment in her life. And once you do it, once you figure out how to do it the first time, that's it. You're now an expert and you will do it again and again. Like, do you guys understand how overpriced labor is? Like,
yeah,
I guess it's not really overpriced, it's labor. Like, people are going to work, they're helping you out, they're doing their thing, right? But like changing a light fixture, if you hire an electrician to change, just change out a light fixture, minimum $150 to $200.
That's why I want to be rich.
Takes 10 minutes.
I just
want
to be like, okay, I'm sure it takes 10 minutes, $150. Please,
no,
please move on.
That's a lot of money.
Because it's not going to take, it's going to take you 10 minutes. It's going to take me the most frustrating hour and a half of my life.
It will. But you are going to have a better understanding of how things work in your home.
No, well, I don't want to. I don't want to have a better understanding of that at all. I want to go to my, go to my deathbed not having any understanding of how things work at my house, because I don't want to use my brain space for that. I want to use it for other things, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you said to me, but at the end you'll know complicated electrical wiring,
it's so important to know those things.
No, not remotely important.
It is
not at all important. I'm happy to die never knowing it. Okay, it's for other people, it's not for me. Uh-huh. Like, so you know me, how much I respect engineers. I think engineers are amazing, they get things done. You can't half build a bridge. I've, you know, 100 times I've said it, right? But I'm not an engineer, okay? That's why God bless your heart. You do that, I do this, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I believe in division of labor, okay? Mm-hmm. And by the way, she got it to work for a little bit, and the water tastes kind of funny.
I bet it's all in your head though.
No, it's not. It's not. I didn't even think about it. And then like a day later I was drinking the water. I'm like, oh, this is the water we got while she temporarily had it fixed. Okay. And she was there, was like, she's like, there's another wire that's going into the ground. I think that's wasteful. It's probably putting it in. I'm like, no, don't cut it. You don't know that. You don't know that it's going into the ground. You're gonna cut it, and then we're never gonna have water again in our lives, right? And she called my nephew, who's an actual engineer.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Don't cut it."
Oh my God.
Like, oh, thanks God. Okay, at least she called Murad. Mm-hmm, okay, so turns out it was going to the fridge, and it's what makes ice.
Oh yeah, right. The water line to the fridge.
The water line to the fridge.
Yeah.
She's like, "No, I got this. I'm cutting it." I'm like, "Ah!" Hire a handyman, for Christ's sake, division of labor. Anyway, but now the most absurd thing. Sometimes I just want to figure certain things out. Oftentimes they're very important things at work. And oftentimes they're incredibly minor. They just happen to like grind my gears or whatever, or just like feels like an unchecked thing on my to-do list.
Yeah.
So I used to jog by this sign all the time that said, Hotel California. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it looked like a cool hotel by the water. I'm like, I'd like to know where that hotel is. Mm-hmm. And every freaking time I went home, I would forget to look it up, right? And every time I went to check, I'm like, fuck, will you goddamn it remember to look up where that hotel is, right? Mm-hmm. And so one day I'm at home and I'm like, Hotel California. Yes, I figured it, I remembered. And I went and looked it up and I figured out where it is. Santa Barbara, it turns out. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the next time I jogged by that billboard, I was like, fuck you.
See?
I felt so good. Like, oh yeah, what now? What now? Okay, and you thought I wasn't gonna figure out where you are.
Oh, it's a great feeling when you figure things out. It really is.
It is. Like back in the day, we would have wiring issues when we were in the other smaller studio. Mm-hmm. And Dave and whoever else would be struggling with it. And if it finally took like too long, I'd be like, all right, God damn it. Let me get in there, roll up my sleeves. Ain't nobody got a budget for a handyman or anything like that. We didn't hire an electrician or whatever it was that we needed. No way, we didn't have any budget.
Those wires were a nightmare, by the way.
They were.
There were wires everywhere in dangerous situations. How did we not die from those wires?
Well, especially with the water leaking on top of them.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Anyway, we're still here. Two.
Yes.
So, a couple of times I figured it out. I was like, I know it's spatial, but hold. Okay. It's also logic, though. Mm-hmm. It has to get to the mic. So you start at the mic and you work your way backwards, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would go and figure, I remember a couple of times I figured it out, right? And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, but if we do this, then it makes sense to do that. And then you move that and you move this and hook it up. And then when it worked, that I'll give you credit for.
See?
It's like a victory that cannot be erased.
Yes.
You know, my friend Bora has a saying, you can't unlive the days I've already lived, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You can't take away the victories I've already stored,
yes,
right? I've already won those victories. I already did those wirings. I'm done with it. You can't take that victory away from me. In fact, I need to have a discussion with Ben Mankiewicz about what's a bigger victory. Okay. So I hear you on that, sister. So yeah. I know the feeling that you had when you got that stuff upstairs.
It felt so good. And it felt good because it seemed impossible. It really did. And like, by the way, each individual piece was super heavy. It's not like each individual piece was like 10, 15 pounds. It was like, here's a 60 pound piece here. But I found a way.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you. So if we get to 100,000 members or, you know, take care of those issues, mm-hmm, you want to talk about a victory that cannot be taken away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to feel so unbelievably good. To not wake up every day super, super duper stressed, right? Anyways, I want to connect that back to the last thing I want to say. Look, you know, we talked about how some folks have been liberated by the Young Turks, right? I'm sure the right wing would love that terminology. But anyway, I don't want you to forget that you also get credit for that.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for you guys,
we wouldn't even be here.
We absolutely positively would not be here. That's not a maybe, that's not a probably. If all of you were not members, this is all gone, okay? And so for every great story you hear on the show about, Young Turks making a little bit of a difference in someone's life or in many people's lives, you did that. So you could retire off that too, okay? So exercise that part of your brain.
Yeah.
Okay, and thank you guys. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.